Jean-Paul Morosi is the national baseball writer for the MLB Network. How are you, sir?
Doing outstanding out here in Los Angeles. Sorry to hear that there is no more baseball to be played in your beautiful city here for the rest of this year.
Yeah, we are too, actually.
Yeah.
We're running out of things
to talk about now, all of a sudden.
Not true. How do you think the fact that Mark Shapiro has said that John Gibbons will come back, is going to be back managing this team next year? And you know, background, he is under contract through 2017, but John, I think a lot of us in this city kind of expected that it would be a one-year deal and Mark Shapiro would eventually want to bring his own guy in. Gibbons is going to be back to start the year, at least. How is that going to be viewed around baseball? Do you think baseball looks at what has happened to the Blue Jays in the first, you know, in these back-to-back ALCSs and views that as having been a success? Or do you think baseball looks at how this series in particular turned out and is kind of wondering what this team is made of?
Well, I think number one, John Gibbons is very well respected around the game. And I think if you asked the other 29 managers or the other 29 GMs, what should the Jays have done or was this the right thing to do to bring him back for 2017? They'd probably all tell you yes, or at least the vast majority would tell you yes. I think that John has done a very good job with his club, and this is not an easy team to manage. I think that there's some strong personalities that John has handled, I think, very adeptly. You've got some veterans. It's one of the older clubs in the game, as we've talked about before, which I think puts a lot on a manager's plate from a standpoint of days off and managing injuries, managing egos, managing pride, and managing a bullpen that really, for a vast stretch of the year, wasn't terribly effective in the middle innings, that John was able to, I think, nurse to the finish line and get them into the playoffs through the wild card game through the first round. So I think John did a phenomenal job when you look at the totality of things. I do wonder, Jeff, when you look at the big picture, I'm a big believer that it's either the guy is either your manager or he's not, and he's your manager for the next couple of years, and you're going to commit to him, or he's not, and you're inviting in a lot of skepticism and rumors. And so I do think that from the Jays' standpoint, it's important to make a fairly strong statement on his behalf, whether contractually or verbally, ideally contractually, that really communicates to the players and to the organization and to the fans that this is our guy. We think he's done a great job. This is our guy. I think that the Jays should do that in a way that, frankly, the Tigers didn't. They just picked up Brad Ausmus's option for 2017, period, full stop, nothing further, which I didn't really agree with from a standpoint of just giving him that 1 year. So I think that the Jays should take a strong look at that, because you look at the big picture here, and I realize the roster is going to change, and it already has, since Alex Anthopoulos left. But John Gibbons has what you would call institutional knowledge as it relates to these players and the organization. And I think that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins do value that and really should value that greatly, because I think without John Gibbons sort of knowing the terrain as well as he does, I think 2016 could have unfolded very, very differently.
JP, what do you think Mark Shapiro does? What's his biggest move? What's his first move? Because is there a difference in biggest and first? Because I would guess they go hand in hand, right?
Sure. Well, I think one thing, Kevin, that he's going to have to figure out is do they offer Bautista the qualifying offer? Mm-hmm. And that is a large amount of money. $17.2 million is not a trifling sum for a team to manage, especially knowing, I think we all realize, Encarnacion will be offered the sum and he's going to turn it down because he has a lot of opportunities out there in free agency. Bautista's market is somewhat more limited. Jose's numbers, I think, were the lowest that he had since 2009. He's 36. I think, candidly, a two-year deal, maybe three, but I think more likely two. A two-year deal at maybe somewhere around $15 to $20 million is probably about as lucrative as he's going to find. I believe that's the case, just based on the way that he played this year and the way that the way the market has behaved in recent years. The market has not been kind to players who are really 32 and older, and Jose is 36. So I think it's a tough call. I know we all know Jose is a very proud guy that I think he does not want to accept a qualifying offer, but I do think that he may discover that that's the best approach for him to take. So that's why it's a very tough decision for the Jays, I believe, to offer that or not. So I think that's a really key, a very crucial first move. And I think, Kevin, to a larger point, you look at the outfield, and I was actually just looking at this last night. If you factor in the guys that are going to be free agents, with Saunders, of course, and Bautista, and then looking at Encarnacion leaving as well, potentially. The first baseman right now, if you had to play a game right now with only players that are still on the roster and not free agents, you would have Smoke at first base, Upton in left, Pilar in center, Carrera in right, and literally no one at DH. There's not anybody there. So that is a really huge amount of talent to figure out during the course of the offseason. Pilar, I think we love his defense, but the Jays need to get more left-handed. They also need a leadoff guy. And so one way to do that would be to find a leadoff hitting center fielder who bats left-handed. Charlie Blackman, Adam Eaton, Ender Inciarte, all names that I think are going to be kicked around by the Jays this wintertime. And so for that reason, I don't think it's a necessity, or I don't think it's a certainty, rather, that Pilar is in center field on opening day, because they just have to take a very holistic view of this outfield. And Upton, not a great second half. He was decent in the postseason, but not a great second half. What has he done to really cement himself as an everyday player? Same story with Smoke. So as great as this lineup has been for a very long time, you need to find a first hitter, a third hitter, and a sixth hitter, because that's basically what Saunders was doing against right-handed pitching. So they have a long list of tasks ahead of them here this wintertime.
You know, we focused a lot on Aaron Sanchez this year, and you know, the Jays got him over the 200-inning mark healthy, as far as we know, knock on wood. But, John, how concerned would you be about next year for Aaron Sanchez? And do you think that the Blue Jays ought to, in the offseason, at least keep in mind the idea that there, A, may be a decrease in, you know, productivity from Aaron next year, or worse, God forbid, that there may be some sort of medical issue because of the increase in innings?
So you're saying you don't want him to pitch in the WBC like I would like to see a pitch?
Yeah, if he does, I would pretty much come over and break both your hands.
Okay, because he is eligible to pitch for both Mexico or the U.S. See, he can go either way. So and he may well be in demand from both clubs. I just want to make that point. I think that certainly the Jays are going to be very cautious with him. And to your point, build in this expectation that he is that they will have to continually sort of back off him during the course of the year. I give the Jays an immense amount of credit for the way that things played out with him this year. And I give Aaron an immense amount of credit, obviously, as well, because it was his insistence on the situation and making sure that he pitched was really one of the driving forces behind the fact that he did ultimately stay in the rotation and continue starting. To me, I think that, again, that's a good gesture by the organization. And I think, too, guys, you look at the overall look of the rotation, assuming, I think, and I think we're all hoping and assuming that Liriano is going to be fine physically and ready to go at the start of the season. It's a veteran group, and I think the Jays are lucky in that there isn't really anybody else in that rotation, depending on how Estrada's back does coming back. But for the most part, there's not really anybody in that rotation that you say, man, we really have to watch their innings too. Like, we're really worried about their physical endurance here, that we have to make sure we back off of them. So I think if you've got one starting pitcher that you're going to give an extra day to here and there, that's usually manageable. The problem comes when you've got two or three, and you've got to try to dance around and figure out where you can get guys extra rest. I think as long as Estrada's back is sound, as long as Liriano's in good shape and the concussion is okay and he's able to bounce back, Then I'm not really worried about Sanchez's situation, because at that point the Jays will be able to finesse one spot in the rotation. I think that the concern would be if there was a physical issue that crept up with somebody else that then necessitated them really having to go to the whip a lot with Sanchez, and that would concern me. And Jeff, I would say yes too. I understand if Jays fans would prefer Aaron not pitching the WBC, as much as that pains my heart.
Okay, JP, two questions here. 2017, do you think Joey Votto will be a Toronto Blue Jay? Second question, do the Blue Jays have enough to get him? Enough pieces to give up to get him?
Right. Great questions. I think that the probability is probably less than 50% that Votto ends up in Toronto, but it certainly is, it's more than zero. I mean, it's a possibility. The Reds, interestingly, just announced a new television rights contract for them, which is good, which gives them some guaranteed revenue and an uptick in their local TV rights. So maybe their financial circumstances are not quite as dire as they appeared earlier in the season. As for do they have enough talent to get them, the answer is yes, if they're willing to take on a vast majority or a large share of the contract. I think there's a sliding scale there. The Reds, I think, with their situation, they are very far away from being able to compete in what is one of the toughest divisions in the game. You look at the Cubs on the field right now. We saw the Cardinals, the Pirates. They're going to bounce back. Even the Brewers had a decent season. The Reds are not close to being a playoff team, mm-hmm. And so with that circumstance, to me, part of the value of trading Votto is just getting rid of the money and being able to sort of start from scratch. They would probably accept two or three, not even great, but good. I mean, good prospects, good to very good prospects. If the Jays said, listen, we're going to take the whole contract. We have more money than we do prospects right now. We'll take on the whole deal, and we're going to give you these two or three prospects who we think are good quality prospects, maybe not superstars, but good prospects. That, to me, is an acceptable deal for Cincinnati, I believe. Now, they may disagree, but that, given the circumstances, that, to me, is a very acceptable deal for the Reds, and one that I do believe, especially with Dick Williams coming in his first year as the GM with all those responsibilities, I do think that they would have to consider that. I think they would consider that very seriously.
Mr. Morosi, always great to talk to you. Who's going to win the NLCS?
Boy, I'm going to say the Dodgers.
Really?
I know that may be a bit surprising based on last night's events, but I like their grit. But Russell and Rizzo have now woken up with their bats. So a very interesting game ahead here in Los Angeles this evening. And I'm just excited for the rest of this series. And then come November, guys, I'll be able to talk to you about hockey.
Uh-oh. Why?
Well, just because I'll be able to watch more games.
All right.
I've been busy. How's Matthews doing? I saw he had a pretty good first game, huh?
Yeah, he's not as good as the Finnish kid from Winnipeg. Mm. They're already people are already disappointed here. They're talking about Matthews for Liney, even up a deal.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I would be pleased with what you have. I think he's an outstanding American young man. We have sent you our best, Jeff.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that. I was going to say, I was going to pick a Blue Jays player and say it almost makes up for him, but that's not fair. All right. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. Take care. Talking to you.